This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
All right, big breaking news on the show today. The Eagles will be invited to the White House. Welcome back to the show, our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. The other big news is the framework on a critical minerals deal that the president announced earlier today in the White House. Now, the way it will work is Zelensky comes to the White House on Friday. We get access to their minerals. We give them money. They're allowed to keep fighting the war. I wonder how much of this is to play mental judo with Russia to get them to come to a peace deal. But that is two big, huge issues that came out of it. Trump also offered today a gold card, similar to a green card. I'll explain how that works as well. They plan to create a registry for immigrants in the U.S. Illegally to submit their personal information or face fines and prison time, according to documents, including a draft regulation seen by the Wall Street Journal. So if you are here illegally and you don't join this registry, then you're going to be subject to prison time. My initial thinking on that is that a way then for these individuals to pay money, or is this just a way for them to fine them, to deport them? Obviously, those questions will have to be answered. The other thing, too, is Secretary Scott Bessent was asked the question about this minerals deal. I don't want this war to keep going. I mean, obviously, I think this is obvious. But, you know, I wonder how much of this is, like I was saying in the previous hours, to get Russia to understand now they can't keep going here. There's a lot of very critical minerals that are subject to this. Here's the Secretary of the Treasury, Scott Bessent, explaining how this could be a win-win for us. Cut 15.
Can you walk us through the negotiations that you are having right now to tap into not just these rare earth minerals, but also oil in Ukraine? What can you tell us? Where does the deal stand?
So, Maria, as you said earlier, I traveled to Kyiv about 10 days ago and met with President Zelensky. And this deal is part of President Trump's long arc negotiating strategy for peace between Ukraine and Russia, and to let the Ukrainians get back a peaceful existence. So the first part of this is a partnership between Ukraine and the U.S. that involves strategic minerals, energy, and state-owned enterprises, where we set up a partnership and we are only looking forward. It is a win-win. President Trump They have created this idea himself. It is a win-win. We make money if the Ukrainian people make money. And I believe that with the United States of America, our know-how, our businesses willing to come in and provide capital, that we can accelerate the Ukrainian growth trajectory and take in substantial monies for the U.S. taxpayers and get the Ukrainian economy on a great growth trajectory.
That's a big deal. That's a big deal. Sorry, I'm just writing my son back. He wants to know where his iPad is. Said it's on the washing machine. This is what you have to look for. If you have young kids, this is where you know that you're starting to you get into that. He wants to play a game with his buddy. So my son, I got him a watch, you know, so we always know where he is. One of those things. So he texts me. But he doesn't say like, "Hey, Dad, how was your day?" or anything. It's like, "Where's my iPad?" Yeah, I know. And he's only 10. So we'll talk more about this with our friend Dr. Victoria Coates this week. But this is a big deal. The Ukrainian mineral deposits are under Russian control. I think we all want this to end, this war. So, but it's a fascinating thought on this, on how we could get to a resolution. The other thing, as I mentioned earlier, is that the president announced that the Eagles will be invited to the White House. We played the audio earlier in the show, but you know what? Let's play it again so that we can hear it once and for all officially after all the fake news that was out yesterday that the Eagles said they were not going. That's not true. They will accept an invitation once it's offered. It will be officially offered if it hasn't been already offered by now. Take a listen.
The Philadelphia Eagles won the Super Bowl. Are they being extended an invitation?
They will be. We haven't yet, but we will be. I thought it was a great performance by them. And absolutely, they'll be extended that invitation. Would you do that right away, by the way?
Yes, sir.
We'll do it right away. We're going to do it sometime today. And they deserve to be down here, and we hope to see them.
Okay, there you go. Good stuff. Fly, Eagles, fly, baby. Love it. Two things I wanted to mention politically speaking. There's a lot of talk about earlier in the show, this Wisconsin governor wants to change mothers to inseminating persons or inseminated persons or some ridiculous, nonsensical term. I don't know. It's disgusting. But Democrats keep going down this road, this trans road. They're going to keep losing every time. I'm going to play you two people who are of the left side of the political spectrum to prove the point. They reach different audiences than obviously I do. So what they're saying is echoing what I'm saying. One is Charlemagne the God, the other is Bill Maher. Let's start with Charlemagne the God as he blasted the Maine Democrat governor Janet Mills for continuing to focus on the transgender athlete show, cut number 7.
Why are folks still talking about trans athletes? Like, that is a losing talking point. America's not with it, and they keep making a micro or macro with that conversation. It impacts such a small, small group of people, but it makes a whole lot of people think folks lack common sense. So why are they even having that conversation? And I can't believe it's states that still want to die on that hill. Like, none of these states have a high percentage of trans athletes. So what's the issue?
Maybe it's just protecting the overall arching issue of trans rights, or you know that's still an ongoing thing. That's still a developing issue.
I don't know the probability, but I'm sure it's a higher probability of most people don't want men played in women's sports, especially if they have daughters that practice right. And that I'm sure the probability is pretty
high. It's just not a high percentage of trans athletes in the country. Period.
Right.
So I know state to state it has to be even smaller. So whatever.
I'm not sure. Maybe like they're just again getting ahead of the issue. But to your point, yeah, I mean, don't die on the hill, y'all. There's so much more we could talk about. But speaking of which,
well, they are going to die on the hill, and it's stupid. But I mean, it's not like trans athletes are being killed. This is about them not playing against athletes of their of the gender. You know, I mean, like it's about stopping dudes from playing against women. Let's just say what it is, right? And the president even told the Maine governor, listen, you better go along with this or you're not going to get any federal funding if you don't. This is one of my favorite things that the president said to the or called out the Maine governor. Cut number 6.
Well, you better do it. You better do it because you're not going to get any federal funding at all if you don't. And by the way, your population, even though it's somewhat liberal, although I did very well there, your population doesn't want men playing in women's sports. So you better comply, because otherwise you're not getting any federal funding.
See you in court.
Every state. Good. I'll see you in court. I look forward to that. That should be a real easy one. and enjoy your life after governor, because I don't think you'll be in elected politics.
See, in court, it'll battle out in court. Hey, listen, they don't have to take the federal money, and the federal government doesn't have to give it to them. So there you go. It's like stipulations on highway funds, for example. You know why every state has a 21-year-old drinking age? Because the feds demand it in order for them to get federal highway funds. This is not new. The feds demand things in order to give the states money, and the states have to comply with it. So there you go. And this is Bill Maher on his comments on the issue. Democrats are going to keep losing on this, and he's dead. He's spot on. Cut number 8.
I don't want Donald Trump deciding. I want parents and doctors.
Well, you just said parents can get shut out.
Well, I don't think parents should get shut out. There are rare exceptions.
Oh, and just pause it for a second. I should have mentioned, I'm sorry, this is with one of the Obama bros, former Obama speechwriter John Lovett, Pod Save America. He kind of sounds like a girl, but he is a man. Go ahead.
We all believe that parents should have the decisions over their children, but we also recognize that some parents do such a bad job that the kids are in danger. That happens in outside of trans issues. That happens all the time. It's terrible. Some parents are terrible. But somehow that the fact that there are terrible parents in the world gets erased on these questions. Do I think that schools should, as a baseline, be keeping a secret from parents? Of course not. No one thinks that. Well, no one thinks
apparently
that.
Apparently that's not true. People do think that. And there is no perfect answer to this. It's as many naughty questions, the least bad answer.
And the least bad answer is to not let the government decide from above. It's just to leave it up to people and parents and the kids and the doctors. Right? You want the government to ban gender-affirming care for kids?
You want to lose every election? Just keep coming down on the side of parents coming in second in a who gets to decide what goes on with kid contest.
I'm not first.
There you go. Democrats will keep losing on this issue, no doubt about it. Absolutely. And as you know, Joy Reid is officially done off the air at MSNBC. It's wonderful. She broke down in tears. I talked about this with Brianna Lyman. I've got more to say on that as the show goes on. I got a lot more to say about a lot of things. We're just getting warmed up here. We still have a whole, almost an hour to go. But it's great to be back with you. It really is, after being out on Friday for my third and final round of foot surgery.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Give us 5 things you do every day. 5 things. And just send it to us once a week. That's what we're asking of government employees. 5 things. I don't think it's that big of a deal. I think in corporate America, you're probably expected to list more than 5 things you do every week. I don't think it's that big of a freaking deal. Honestly, the meltdown of people when we want to just hold employees accountable. We have to treat the government like a private company in the sense of the accountability and the standards. That's what we've been saying forever. You know, was it all just lip service? I guess. Welcome back to the fourth and final hour. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. I tried the iPhone thing where you say racist into it and Trump's name comes up. It didn't show it for me, so I don't know. But I do know that Tim Cook said he's investing 20,000 jobs and he's bullish on the American economy, bullish on investment in America. So there you go. That's great stuff. And I'm bullish on being back on the air. You know, it was Friday was my surgery. So In case you don't know, I've had three rounds of foot surgery here. On Friday was hopefully the final round, but we don't know for sure. We think we're out of the woods. We think the staph infection's gone. Hopefully I'm out of the woods. I took yesterday off to just kind of relax. I'm still not 100% yet. I'm like 80%, but I figure 80% is better still than 99.99% of all the hosts out there in America. Am I right? Right? So I figured get back on the air and we'll take it one day at a time. And we'll do it that way. And I still can't do a bunch of things like shower. So if you earlier on the YouTube stream, I was explaining this. My hair is all greasy. And not just because I'm Italian greasy, but just greasy. You know what I mean? Just greasy. I love the fact that today Caroline Levitt pointed out the power of local radio. She said, as she was talking about how the legacy corporate media is not going to always be deciding things in terms of who gets access to the president or Air Force One or anything like that. And I like that she said that. And I also like that she said that she's going to allow more outlets and entities. And she specifically called out local radio as being the heart and soul and pulse of America. I told you she invited me last week to come to the briefing, which was an honor, absolutely an honor. And I will be there at one point, at some point soon. I definitely will be. I think I want to fly an Air Force One. It's one of the things I've never done. I got to check that off my bucket list. So, I want to make sure I can listen to me rattling off things I want to try to do. Well, you got to have goals, right? You got to have goals. Why not? Anyway, Apple just announced a largest ever commitment to American jobs. This is good stuff here today.
How are we today?
Great.
I like this.
During his inaugural address, President Trump promised that America would be a manufacturing nation once again, and liberal pundits mocked him for it. But those critics were proven wrong once again. On the heels of President Trump's Oval Office meeting with Apple CEO Tim Cook last week, Apple just announced its largest ever commitment to American jobs and industry, with plans to spend and invest more than $500 billion in America over the next 4 years.
Great.
Over the course of the current Trump administration, Apple plans to hire around 20,000 new workers, creating high-paying jobs right here in America. And the investment isn't limited to one specific region of our country. Apple teams and facilities will expand all over our country in Arizona, California, Iowa, Nevada, North Carolina, Michigan, Oregon, Texas, and Washington. With President Trump in charge, America is open for business.
Well, I like the idea of them making an investment. Like I said, I tried the talk to text thing to see if it came up racist. I didn't see that, but apparently that's going around the internet today. I don't know if that's really I don't know. One of the things that I think is really important to note is that up until this moment, the White House access to the White House press briefing room, the Oval Office, Air Force One, all of that has always been controlled by the White House Correspondents Association. And Caroline Levitt announcing today that that's going to change. It's going to be the White House press team that decides that access. I just assume that anyway. I just assume that they would do that. She did say the legacy media will still have a role in all this. They're not going to get booted out. I mean, inevitably, they're going to scream fascism and, the media and journalists in internment camps and everything else. But this is a little bit of a longer clip, but I think it's important. This is where she talks about the power of other outlets being part of the press pool, but them not getting to determine all by themselves who gets the nod to be around the president and ask questions. Let's take a listen to this from today.
As you all know, for decades, a group of D.C.-based journalists, the White House Correspondents Association, has long dictated which journalists get to ask questions of the President of the United States in these most intimate spaces. Not anymore. I am proud to announce that we are going to give the power back to the people who read your papers, who watch your television shows, and who listen to your radio stations. Moving forward, the White House press pool will be determined by the White House press team. Legacy outlets who have participated in the press pool for decades will still be allowed to join, fear not, but we will also be offering the privilege to well-deserving outlets who have never been allowed to share in this awesome responsibility. Just like we added a new media seat in this briefing room, legacy media outlets who have been here for years will still participate in the pool. but new voices are going to be welcomed in as well.
Good. And I told you
part of these changes.
I told you, I mentioned that last week she invited me, right? Oh, I said that already. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead. Sorry. My bad. Keep going.
As you all know, but we will also be offering the privilege to well-deserving outlets who have never been allowed to share in this awesome responsibility. Just like we added a new media seat in this briefing room, legacy media outlets who have been here for years will still participate in the pool, but new voices are going to be welcomed in as well. As part of these changes, we will continue the rotation amongst the five major television networks to ensure the president's remarks are heard far and wide around this world. We will add additional streaming services, which reach different audiences than traditional cable and broadcast.
Good.
This is the ever-changing landscape of the media in the United States today.
Correct.
We will continue to rotate a print pooler who has the great responsibility of quickly transcribing the president's remarks and disseminating them to the rest of the world. And we will add outlets to the print pool rotation who have long been denied the privilege to partake in this experience, but are committed to covering this White House beat. We will continue to rotate a radio pooler and add other radio hosts who have been denied access, especially local radio hosts who serve as the heartbeat of our country.
That's the heartbeat, baby. The heartbeat of our country right here. Although, will we be local forever? I mean, I think that there's this whole idea of local versus national, and yeah, I think you could do both well. The way I've always looked into this, by the way, is if a topic is interesting, it's interesting. It doesn't matter where it's taking place. Do you know, this is how I've always guided it. So if there is an interesting story regarding something with a municipal sewer commission and corruption in South Jersey, it's going to be interesting to Pennsylvanians. It's going to be interesting to people listening on the Odyssey app in Ohio or Florida or anywhere. It's going to be interesting. And it's the same thing with national stuff. I mean, just because we're local, like, would you not want to hear about what's going on in your own country from the perspective of my analysis of it? I think the problem is a lot of times hosts or shows become national and they become very generic in terms of their, they lose something unique about their identity. And I think that has to do with maybe trying to appeal to a mass audience, whereas I think that just be yourself and you'll be fine. No matter what you're talking about, if it's an interesting topic, it's going to be an interesting topic. If it's not an interesting topic, it's going to bore the hell out of people, bottom line. Right? I mean, it's just the way it is. And I think that it's interesting to people to think that the White House acknowledges, though, how important the power of local radio is, because it is. It truly is. It definitely is. And I'm honored to be here every day, honored to be able to do this. But I wanted to share this with you because I think it's really important to note that Caroline Levitt mentioned one of those national hosts, Dan Bongino, who got the job as the deputy director of the FBI. And I don't know what's going to happen to Bongino's show. I think Bongino has always been it's an amazing story, really. I mean, he was a guest on my show years ago, and he was just, his book came out. The guy was an overnight sensation. He'll do great at the FBI. I think he'll do a fantastic job. Bongino has a very intimate connection with his audience. I think as they know that he doesn't speak BS, he's not for everybody. I'm not for everybody. Not everybody's for everybody. And like everybody else, you got to find your own rhythm in this business. And I think you have to adjust according to what your guiding principle is, because there's no shortage of suggestions of people that like what you do and don't like what you do. No shortage of them. For every person that loves Bongino, there's someone that hates him. For every person that loves me, there's someone that hates me. Well, maybe that's an exaggeration, but you get the point. But here was Levitt defending why Bongino got the nod.
I'm not sure if anybody in this room has listened to Mr. Bongino when he talks about the past corruption at the FBI, when he talks about his experience serving for the United States Secret Service. This is a man who loves his country and who has honorably served our country in ways that many people have not. He understands the depth of the corruption at these institutions, which the American people reelected President Trump to shake up. And I think it's quite despicable to see many networks in this room who who have had chyrons on their television screens labeling Mr. Bongino as a far-right podcaster. He is not. He is a former law enforcement agent. He is a former Secret Service agent who put his life on the line to protect this country, and that is why the President of the United States has entrusted him for this important role. He's also an outsider to this Washington swamp, and we often see that when outsiders are appointed to such coveted positions, a lot of people in this city get very, very nervous, and they should be, because Dan Bongino and Kash Patel and Attorney General Bondi are focused on rooting out the corruption at these agencies and ending the weaponization of government.
I think, look, a couple points here. Obviously, the president has appointed a lot of people who come from the world of media because he likes people who are able to communicate a message effectively. He likes that. It's important. He understands the power in that. He understands the power in having people who are able to communicate a message. He understands people who are passionate. And he also understands the ability in this day and age in which we live of people to break through the noise and get a message across. Bottom line, I mean, that's what it comes down to. That it's an essential point. Far too often we've had lazy bureaucrats with no personality, no pizzazz whatsoever. And it's been something that we've noticed. And I think that pulling people from Fox, pulling talk show hosts in, as of right now, I don't have any plans to go anywhere as of this moment. Obviously, you never know what's going to change, but as of right now, I don't have any plans to go anywhere. But, you know, pulling in people like that, Monica Crowley, Bongino, others pulling in, I mean, Hegseth was a Fox host. And these are people that understand a message. They understand how to communicate. They understand the power of persuasion, because it's what you have to do every day on a daily basis. But the legacy media mocks them, though, because they're not just from the bureaucracy and they're not just from the swamp. I think it's refreshing, quite frankly, to have people that just aren't from the bureaucracy and aren't from the swamp. Just like I think it's refreshing to have people who do this for a living who aren't from radio. I mean, in other words, I didn't come from radio. It was my background. I wasn't an FM DJ or a sports talker or something. I'm not putting that down. I'm just saying I was a political background. So I try to bring something different to this microphone every day from having spent most of my career in that world. You know what I mean? Of course you do. But being able to effectively communicate a message matters. And that's something, also passion matters too. And you're not going to be successful at your job behind a microphone, in front of a camera, if you are not able to convey a sense of passion. And I'll tell you, Dan Bongino is incredibly talented, passionate guy. He's passionate about what he believes in. He's passionate about his audience. He and his audience have had an incredible connection. He did call it the Bongino Army after we called it the Zioli Army. It's all right. Won't begrudge the guy. It's cool. And I think he'll do a great job. I think he's going to do a great job over there. I think it's where, for this point, he belongs. Will he wind up back on the air at some point? I wouldn't be surprised. I would doubt if he doesn't. It's like Caroline Leavitt, too. I mean, at some point, I texted her over the weekend. We were going back and forth about something. I said, I think you'll get your own Fox show. And her point back to me was, if that's God's plan, then so be it. But being able to communicate, having the talent to be able to persuade people, and having the ability to convey a message and to have other people follow along with that message is a skill. Like any other skill in life, it's very important to what the president is looking to do with the people he's putting in these areas. And the other point about it, too, is that they're not afraid of controversy. Let's face it, guys like Bongino and guys like Hegseth and other, they're not afraid of controversy. If you're going to get in there and actually disrupt, then you got to disrupt. And Washington is famous for coming at you with everything it's got. They've got scintillas of info. Is that even scintillas? They have binders, trapper keepers on people. I want to bring the trapper keeper back. It's my new goal. They've got oodles, trying to find the right word here. Still a little foggy. You know what I mean. They'll come at you and try to destroy you. So having people that have a backbone and to be able to stand up to that and say, I'm not afraid, come at me. What do you got? What do you got? Give me your best shot. Give me your best shot. And then to be able to stand up and take it and not run from that and not be afraid of that. That's called cojones. That's called the backbone. And it's what you got to do if you want to be able to survive in this business. Now, look, I also told you that when it comes to the whole issue with Odyssey and George Soros and everything else, that I'll be transparent about that, too. I can tell you with 100% certainty, nobody has asked me to change a thing about this show. I was at the White House last week. I was invited to the White House press briefing. The investigation that's going on with the FCC, I have no role in that. I have no idea. I have no idea on the corporate side of things. I have no idea. Obviously, it's in the news. I'm not going to ignore that it's in the news. I'm not going to ignore that this is a news story. I just want you to know, for your own benefit, I haven't, nobody's said a thing to me. If anyone ever did, I'd quit. You know that. I mean, I'm blessed. I'm fortunate. I'm pretty confident I could get another job either doing this or I might work in D.C. at like a Outback Steakhouse or something because they used beef tallow oil. They used beef tallow. I didn't know that at the Outback. Next time you order the Bloomin' Onion, you had no idea. No, but seriously, if they ever came to me and tried to change my show or tell me what to say or not say, I would quit. They know that. Nobody has tried. And really, I mean, not our market manager, nobody. Not our program director, brand manager, Darth Soccer, nobody. This show has not, and we were at the White House, as I mentioned last week. Caroline invited me to the press briefing. I just couldn't go because I was already in New York. I mean, I could have gone, but it would have had to blow off Fox News. And she just like, we'll just do it another time. So I want you to know that as the headlines go on, and we'll talk about the story. It's a story. I'm not going to hide from it. Just like I don't hide from the fact of Soros' contributions to all these prosecutors like Larry Krasner in Philadelphia. It's part of the job. Got to do it. You know, if you're going to be good at your job, you got to be authentic. The authenticity is also key because I think that's another thing that another reason why Trump picked guys like a guy like Bongino, for example. He's authentic. He's not for everybody. I'm not for everybody. Jimmy Fallon is not for everybody. Mark Levin's not for everybody. That's the thing. But all these guys are authentic because you can't be that way for 3-4 hours a day as an act. And the ones who do put on an act, well, we know what happens to them. They get blown up and exposed as the frauds they are pretty quickly. You know what I mean? Pretty quickly, like what we talked about earlier in the show with Smirconish. I mean, that's the bottom line here is that the truth comes out. It always does. It's just a matter of when. But for my perspective, looking these people in the eye, I think they like me, like Caroline Levitt and Sonny and her team, because we're eye to eye. They know I'm a legit person and. But they're not afraid of the battle, of doing battle with the hostile media. That's why anyone who's also nervous about this idea that the White House is going to push out outlets that aren't just singing Trump's praises all the time is wrong. They relish the fight to go after the corporate legacy media and to have those battles. They love it. They're like, bring it on. I mean, Caroline said that as much to Lara Trump the other night on the debut of the Lara Trump show on Saturday night on Fox News, right before I was on with Jimmy Fallon on Saturday night. I don't know if I mentioned that earlier. I was on Saturday night on Fox News Saturday night. Jimmy Fallon, I think I mentioned that. But no, she said that. I look forward to it every day. Like, bring it on. Bring it. All right, 855-839-1210 as we continue our fourth and final hour here on the show. A lot more to come. Big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria. Vanaria Dental. Go see him today for your perfect smile. V-A-N-A-R-I-A. VanariaDental.com with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Let Dr. Mike be the guy who gives you the smile of your dreams. Coming right back. Bottom line is this, you and I both know that all employees, whether they work in the private sector or the public sector, need to be held accountable. Nobody gets a pass. Nobody. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Great to have you with us today. MSNBC, totally racist, obviously, for keeping all the white hosts and firing the non-white hosts. like Joy Reid. Joy Reid is the single most racist human being in the history of television. I'm amazed that Joy Reid lasted as long as she did, that NBC and their overlords kept Joy Reid on the air, an openly racist person who would laugh at white tears and say some of the most vile, vile stuff. She's gone now. Now, the supercut that I played for you from Grabian is really important, right? Because Grabian put together, Tom Elliott did a great job of this, of Joy Reid, and the question of how she was able to last this long, really remarkable. Really remarkable. Grabian News had this as well. But I just want to play a little bit of Joy Reid for you.
The race, some of the lady. Hits. Why would they call me that? Is this really about me fixating on race, or is it about you fixating on race?
But Donald Trump wants to never let black and brown folk up off the mat.
Evident what they mean by DEI, right?
Why not just say what you mean? You can't stand black people. We get it. You've been heard.
Are you committed to naming a black woman as your vice presidential running mate?
They wanted to go after the brown people too, because of course that is their other target.
You feel joy? Say joy.
It's not fashionable to be openly racist anymore in America, unlike what they call the good old days. Only the white Christian men may have the things. So you own everything that happens to your mixed status families and to your wives, sisters, and abuelas.
Joy.
If you are black plus anything else, you are black. Violent white nationalism that today threatens our national security.
Make a joy.
But, you know, I was thinking about they're they're interlacing Coming to America in the background. Joy, I love it. Joy Reid was a downer, man. She was a downer. Did you ever listen to her? Constantly, she was a downer. Like, all the time. Just her show was depressing. Depressing as hell. And I think that, I mean, her ratings went in the toilet. Her ratings absolutely went into the tank. Nobody was watching her show. If she was getting ratings, she would be fine. Not about race. It's about ratings. The only thing about race and ratings is that they share the R and an A. And that's it. It's not about race. It's about ratings. And her ratings were absolutely horrendous. And you know as well as I do that when Rachel Maddow openly goes after her own network, she's daring them to come after her, because Rachel Maddow's turning around and she's like, hey, listen, you going to fire the black woman and the lesbian in the same week? Or are you going to wait? Huh? Come get me. Come at me. But she'd like to, I think she only works one day a week. I'm sure she'd probably like that to be no days a week. She works like one day a week and gets paid like $30 million or something like that. It's crazy. And that's after taking a pay cut. That's after taking a pay cut, if you can believe that. Oh, I know. It's crazy, right? It's absolutely nuts.
An even bigger programming change is at 7 p.m., 7 p.m. Eastern, where Joy Reid's show, The Readout, ended tonight. And Joy is not taking a different job in the network. She is leaving the network altogether. And that is very, very, very hard to take. I am 51 years old. I have been gainfully employed since I was 12. And I have had so many different kinds of jobs, you wouldn't believe me if I told you. But in all of the jobs I have had, in all of the years I have been alive, there is no colleague for whom I have had more affection and more respect than Joy Reid. I love everything about her. I have learned so much from her. I have so much more to learn from her. I do not want to lose her as a colleague here at MSNBC. And personally, I think it is a bad mistake to let her walk out the door. It is not my call, and I understand that, but that's what I think. I will tell you, it is also unnerving to see that on a network where we've got two, count them, two non-white hosts in primetime, both of our non-white hosts in primetime are losing their shows, as is Katie Fang on the weekend. And that feels worse than bad, no matter who replaces them. That feels indefensible, and I do not defend it.
Okay, two things. On the one hand, I give her credit for acknowledging that her colleague's been fired, because typically what happens in this business is you're fired and then they just act like you never existed. And they just pretend like you did not exist. They never mention you again. And that, to me, never sat right with me, because this whole job is about truth and honesty and a relationship and a commitment with the audience, with one person at a time. And so to not acknowledge reality that's not okay with me. I don't like that. It's like the Soros thing. I'm not going to pretend like it's not happening. I'm going to tell you exactly what I think of it. And I'm going to get beyond. I have to be honest. It's so. But too often in the media, somebody's let go and they just pretend like that person never lived. Like literally they erased from the timeline. It's like in Back to the Future. That person was just, the timeline's gone. Or the Avengers Endgame. I haven't made my superhero reference in 5 minutes. And it's just the timeline's been altered and they just don't exist. Go, how is that possible? Well, in this alternate timeline, this person was never a host on our network. So I give Maddow props for that. But I think the fact that she talks about the non-white hosts, that's the problem with MSNBC, Rachel. You just acknowledged everything that's wrong with your network is that you're still viewing the world through this lens of us versus them, white versus non-white, people of color versus people of non-color. Like everybody's a person of color in some way, shape, or form in this day and age. There's so many people who are mixed race. So this whole idea of us versus them, that idea in your head is why your network, in my opinion, suffers as badly as it does. All right, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla is up next. It's great to be back with you as we get going here. And thanks for having me back. I mean, yeah, thanks for your patience as we get back to Warp Speed. It's the only show Warp Speed. But like I said, me at 80%, still better than 99.99% of the hosts out there at 100%. Their 100%. Am I right? Huh? All right. Keep the conversation going on X at Rich Zeoli, Instagram at Zeoli Show. Thank you.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.